That, you know, anytime I call, this person needs to be ready to deal with me. And see, even sometimes the person with the gift of pastor shepherd will get into trouble because instead of taking time to deal with family issues or spending time with their family, the person with this gift might be running quick to jump on all the needs that come up. And so others think that this person is always available.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of the gift of pastor-teacher from Psalm 139. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of the gift of pastor-teacher from Psalm 139.
The love of God, and see you grow in that. Another way that others might misunderstand is they might think that this person is their only source of spiritual growth. That, you know, I've sat under this person's feet, they've discipled me, they've nurtured me, and you know what? I'm dependent on this person. And that's not a good thing, to be dependent on one person. You know, I tell people, if you're coming here on Sunday and you're dependent on me to feed you, and I'm the only person that's feeding you, then you got the wrong idea. All right, you need to be eating during the week. You need to be grazing during the week. All right, you need to be munching during the week. All right, then we come here on Sunday to have a feast, right? All right, so, you know, you don't want to become overly dependent, but sometimes people will become overly dependent on the person that has the gift of pastor shepherd. Well, how can Satan attack this gift? Because we see that Satan is busy. He'll try to attack the gift. How does he attack it? Well, he will cause jealousy in the life of the pastor, teacher, of the shepherd, when they see their sheep being fed by others. You know, if they see them eating at another, in another field, or they see another pastor feeding them, if Satan gets in it, then what are they going? You don't need to be over there. Why are you going over there? What you doing over there? You need to be over here. And see what has happened. So now Satan has got in the gift. All right, Satan has got in it. How else does Satan get in it? Satan can cause this person to become discouraged when they get overwhelmed with the needs of others. That you know, they take on so much. They have the heart of a shepherd. And they want so much for people to come to them and nurture. They want to nurture people that sometimes they take on too much and they get overwhelmed whenever they take on the emotional needs of others. And then Satan attacks this gift because he causes this person to be prideful. Because what do they say? Look, I got some folk that look to me. You know, so what comes in there? Satan will attack it and make it pride. Well, you know, you can't, you've heard it say, you couldn't make it if it wasn't for me. If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't be where you're at. Well, that ain't nothing but Satan getting up in there. That's all that is allowing that gift to be controlled by Satan. Where can you use this gift at Bethany? A couple places. Sunday school, teacher, you know, the Sunday school classes, you know, that the person is a shepherding individual, shepherding that class. YCC is a good place to shepherd deacon, the deaconess. Now, you can't choose to be a deacon or deaconess. You got to let God choose you and let the church call you, so you can't choose that. But that is a good place for people with this gift. Biblical counselor is another good place for a person with the shepherding heart that want to see people dealing with issues and problems and shepherd them through that problem. Altar counselor, the single parents ministry, senior saints, and then to be the chaplain of any ministry in the church, you can use this gift of pastor shepherd. Now, really what I wanted to get to, and I wanted us to see this in operation, so that's why I moved through the outline kind of quick, is that I really want to see what is the heart of a shepherd. What is the heart of a shepherd? And as I began to think, what is the model shepherd in the Bible? And there's no other place to turn to. You know where it is. You're already turning there. And that is the 23rd Psalm. Because it's in the 23rd Psalm that we see the heart of the shepherd. And if you'll turn there with me, I want to just spend a few minutes looking this morning at Psalm 23 to see the heart of the shepherd. And once again, this gift, and I don't want to lose sight of this, that this gift of pastor-teacher actually is referring to a person with a shepherd's heart, the heart of shepherding. And I want to ask this question as we even look at this. And I want to look at the 23rd Psalm very briefly this morning from a different light. I want you to take off maybe some traditional ideas you've had about the 23rd Psalm, and I want you to look at it from a different light this morning. I want you to look at it as a shepherd. And as a shepherd is in the field watching over the flock that has been entrusted to him, and see that that's the heart not only of the person with the gift of pastor teacher, but that's the heart of God in our lives. Man, it's good to know that God is our shepherd. It's good to know that God desires to shepherd us. You know, if we just flip back over the pages of Bethany Baptist Church, just over the last couple months, we see that, man, there have been several people that have lost significant loved ones, have gone to be with the Lord. If we flip back over, we see that there's been people dealing with all kinds of trials and tragedies in their life. And you know what? It's good to know that you have a shepherd. And I just want to challenge you today and say that when you hit these difficult times in life, when you go through the troublesome times in life, do you have a shepherd that is guiding you through that? Do you have a shepherd that's leading you through those times in your life? Are you out there all alone? Are you out there in the field, open to the attacks of the wolves and the snakes and all the vicious and wild animals that are out there? Or do you have a shepherd that has the heart of a shepherd that's guiding you through? David says in Psalm 1 that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We sang the song this morning, God shall supply all my needs. Whoo! I almost shouted when they said, oh, let's hurry up. Let's hurry up and get here. Let's hurry up and get there. Let's hurry up and get there. There's a peace. There's a peace. The Lord is my shepherd. We showed up at the last event. They was closing it down. But I went and got my girl born anyways. Yeah. 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 You know they was going to save some for Pastor Glaze now. I got me a fried chicken breast. Yeah. You know that's right. Peace. Peace. The Lord is my shepherd. And he will save you a chicken breast. Oh, yeah. Peace. If God is your shepherd, there ought to be some degree of peace in your life. This nurturing God that loves you, that shepherds you, he provides peace for you. And not only that, but it's not only a peaceful care, it's also a powerful care. Look what he says in verse 3. He restores my soul. This is based on the concept of what was known as a sheep being cast. And what would happen to the sheep sometime, and this is why the shepherd had to shear the sheep, because sometimes the sheep would get so heavy with wool, and it would lay down, and it would lay on its side, and it wouldn't be able to get back up again. And so when the shepherd would move out, and the rest of the sheep move out, if he didn't check back, then that sheep would be laying there, once again, open for the attack of the enemy. So what did the shepherd do? The shepherd went through the flock, and if he saw a sheep that was cast, he would put it back to an upright position. He restores my soul. And you know, I thank God that even when we were wandering far away from God, that Jesus said that he left the 99 to come look for the one. And you know what? Maybe that's where you're at today. You're here in church, but you're far from God. He wants to restore you today. He wants to set your soul back to an upright position. One of my favorite songs that I just love is called The 99. It says this, because I see myself in this, and maybe you might see yourself in it. Foolish was I to wander away, forgetting the dangers of going astray, following paths not made for sheep, on dangerous mountains, rugged and steep, drifting so far from my own selfish plight, not hearing the shepherd's sweet song in the night, no staff for protection, no ringing of bells, no familiar voice saying all is well. 99, they are safe in the fold. I was that lost sheep, so hungry and cold. I am so glad that he found me in time, and I thank him for loving me like the 99. Oh, it's good to know that the heart of the shepherd, that the person with the gift of shepherding, that they love the group, but when somebody doesn't come, oh, the person with the heart of the shepherd, what do they do? Hey, brother, how you doing? What's going on in your life? Anything I can help you with? Where you at in this situation today? Oh, we missed you. Oh, we want to see you restored back to the flock today. The heart of the shepherd is a heart of restoration. God loves you as a Christian, and God wants to fellowship with you every day, and God gets up and he waits for you to fellowship with him every day, but you just go on throughout your day and spend no time with God. But the heart of the shepherd is to go after you. Just to go after you. Say, come on back. Come on back to the early morning when we used to spend that time together. Come on back to the lunch break when you used to take 15, 20 minutes just to read your Bible and to pray. Come on back to the evenings before you go to bed and just spend a little time with me. The heart of the shepherd is that of restoration. Not only a powerful care, but we also see that there is a protective care. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Oh, I broke the thing down like this. I said it's a concerned protection. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's a courageous protection. I will fear no evil. It's a confident protection. Thou art with me. And it's a comforting protection. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What a powerful, powerful protection that we have. I know when I was under attack last year, one of the songs that just carried me through that time, one of the songs that carried me through the time of attack goes like this. I could have lost my mind. I wanted to give up so many times. But God was my anchor, a consistent way maker. I'm glad he covered me. Well, the enemy came against me. He attacked my body and my ministry. But what God ordains, he will maintain. I'm grateful he covered me. And then I like this right here. You covered me. Your hand of protection, your hand of protection was all around me. If it wasn't for your grace and your mercy, thank Jesus, he covered me. Are you covered today? Not with Allstate, but with the Almighty. Are you in the hands of God today? Man, people can't mess with you. They might think they can mess with you, but if you are in the hands of God, if you are in the protection of the shepherd, they can't touch you. They can't mess with you. Do you have a shepherd today? Is God your shepherd? Are you truly allowing him, the great shepherd, the one with the gift, the greatest gift of shepherding, are you allowing him to shepherd you through the difficulties of your life? It's a protective care. And I like this right here. It's a preparing care. Verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. It's a preparing that he prepares a table before us. Powerful illustration from the field. As the sheep would graze, sometimes if they're, you can imagine, I know sometimes I go and cut my grass, you know, and there's bees flying around, and then they be intimidating me, man. I don't even want to go cut that part of my grass, man, because bees flying around. And then there's other little varmints and creatures that come up in the yard, man. You know, it's just thing is just crazy. And so can you imagine the sheep having to deal with all this? And so what would the shepherd do? The shepherd would go before the sheep and check out the field and make sure that everything was safe. And then maybe there would be a place that the shepherd wouldn't check. But because the shepherd had cleared out a field where the sheep could graze, the enemies of the sheep could only come so far. And so the sheep would be able to go, and the sheep would be able to eat and just enjoy themselves in the highest. And so that's what David means when he says, "Thou prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies." That I can come and eat, and my enemies are forced to watch me enjoy myself. That when people attack you and steal the blessings of God come down on you, that your enemies are forced to watch you while you receive the blessings of God. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil." Sometimes there would be flies that would buzz around the face of the sheep, and sometimes a fly would get up in the nose of the sheep and begin to lay eggs up in the sheep's head, and the sheep would just go crazy. And a lot of times the sheep would just go, and this is all documented now, so I'm not just talking stuff I don't know. A shepherd looks at the 23rd Psalm, if you want to read it. Powerful, powerful book. He talks about in there how that the sheep would go and begin to beat his head against the wall and either kill itself or cause all the rest of the sheep to run. And so the shepherd would take the ointment, the oil, and put it over the face of the sheep so that when the flies would fly around, they would not stick around too long because they would see the ointment. Sometimes our fly, the devil, wants to come around and fly around. He wants to get in our nose and lay some eggs so that we can go crazy. But thank God for the oil of the Holy Spirit that God puts on us, and God covers us, and God anoints us with the Holy Spirit so that the enemy cannot infiltrate our system and our body. He said, my cup runneth over. Oh, I like the illustration here. Back in the Middle East, a lot of times when people would travel and they would come in, you were obligated to let a person come in and you had to feed them. That was just the law of the land of that day. You had to feed them if they came in. If at the end of the meal you enjoyed the company, you would take a cup, you would turn it over, and you would start to pour water or wine or whatever it was into the cup, and then you would just let the cup spill over a little bit. And you know what that meant? That, hey, baby, you can stay here. You don't have to travel on. You can stay right here for the rest of the night. If you don't feel like traveling, you can stay here. But if you didn't want the person to go, if they burped at your table and acted ignorant, or as we say, ignorant, and you didn't want them to stay, then you would just take the pitcher and you would fill it halfway. And they know that, and this was before Ray Charles came up with the song, they knew that it was time to hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more, no more, no more. Hit the road. But what did the Bible say? That when we come into the presence of God, what does God do? He pours in our cup and he allows it to spill over. My cup runneth over. Oh, I've read this before, but let me take this time to read it again. I've never made a fortune, and it's probably too late now. But I don't worry about that much because I'm happy anyhow. And as I go along life's way, I'm reaping better than I sow. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. I haven't got a lot of riches, and sometimes the going gets tough. But I've got loved ones all around me, and that makes me rich enough. I thank God for his blessings and his mercies he bestowed. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. Oh, I remember when things went wrong and my faith was somewhat thin. But all at once the dark clouds broke and the sun peeked through again. Lord, help me not to gripe about the hard roads that I've hoed, because I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. If God gives me strength and courage when the day grows weak and rough, I'll not ask for other blessings. I'm already blessed enough. And may I never be too busy to help others bear their loads, and I'll just keep drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. Oh, man, is your cup overflowing today? I don't have a lot of riches. I don't have a lot of money, but you know what? I'm drinking from my saucer today, saints. I'm drinking from my saucer because when I come into the presence of God, he pours in my cup and my cup spills over, and I'm drinking from my saucer. Are you drinking from your saucer today? Has God invited you? Has he invited you to stay with him? And then as I close today, when we talk about the heart of the shepherd, we see that it's a pleasurable care. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That if you have the Lord as your shepherd, you may have some people that don't like you. You may have some difficult situations, but goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. I used to be a little concerned when I taught on the armor of God, because I saw that there was pieces for the front, and somebody said, well, God never provided anything in the armor for the back, because he wants you to keep marching ahead. So you don't need to turn around and run. If you turn around and run, you're not protected. But I found out that even when I'm moving ahead, I'm still not protected from behind. But when I read Psalm 23, it lets me know that I am protected, because it says that goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I'm going to close with this now, and I'm going to read it too, because I'm just going to read it, because I couldn't make it through without laughing if I told it. Now, I could tell it, but I know I couldn't make it through. A mom was concerned about her kindergarten son while walking to school. He didn't want his mother to walk with him. She wanted to give him the feeling that he had some independence, but yet she wanted to know that he was safe. So she had the idea of how to handle it. She asked her neighbor, whose name was Miss Goodness, if she would follow him to school in the morning and stay a distance so he wouldn't know that she was following. So Miss Goodness said that she would do that, and she would take her toddler with her, because she needed to get up and, you know, exercise and have her toddler walk with her in the morning. So the next day, Miss Goodness and her little girl, whose name was Marcy, set out to follow behind Timmy. And they walked to school with one another every day. And she stayed, her and her little daughter, they stayed off at a distance because they didn't want the little boy to know that they were following. Well, as the boys walked and chatted, they were kicking stones and twigs. And one of Timmy's friends noticed that there was a lady and a little girl that followed them every day. So finally, they said to Timmy, have you noticed that there's a lady that's following us every day when we go to school? Do you know her? And Timothy nonchalantly replied, yeah, I know who she is. This is my mother's friend. Well, who is it? Well, her name is Shirley Goodnest, Timothy replied, and her daughter Marcy. And Shirley Goodnest, who is she? And why is she following us? One of the friends said. Well, Timmy said, every night my mom makes me read the 23rd Psalm with my prayers, because she worries about me. And she says it's because Shirley Goodnest and Marcy shall follow me all the day. Shirley Goodnest and Marcy. Now, you know why I told that? Because, see, y'all remember that now. You remember that. All right. Isn't it good to know that Shirley Goodnest and Marcy follows us? And when we have a shepherd, all right, George, it's over now, man. All right. But it's good to know that when we have a shepherd, that God provides these things for us, and he takes care of us. And the person with the gift of shepherding, you know, this is the heart of the shepherd right here. This is the heart of the shepherd. And if you have the gift of shepherding, this is your heart. But even more than that, for those of us who need a shepherd, it's good to know.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of The Gift of Evangelism from Psalm 1. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Gift of Pastor Teacher, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Gift of Pastor Teacher. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Gift of Pastor Teacher. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.